about Tana between you and Reuven. Right? So the Gemara says, Shtei Sharsi Yotzim Yom Echad, and there's a debate whether or not you say Shuda the Daini, we discussed this already, or Yachlok. Shuda the Daini means the Dayanim are going to try to figure out what he really had in mind, right? Instinctively, based on objective evidence, they you know, throw a dart, you know, against the wall. Well, the details of Shuda are not for now. It's more like a Bav Metzia topic. But Shuda the Daini. Or Yachloku. Yachloku, based on the idea, each one has, you know, a shtar which doesn't really explicate the details, you know, until the last minute of the day. Like if it's written for Tuesday, so it's the last minute of Tuesday, because ain't postman shows in those times. And therefore, each one comes at the same moment with the same, you know, strength. And therefore, you have two people making an equal claim, and that's 50-50. So the Gemara says, you know, that this depends on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer, and we discuss that as well. So in that discussion of that Gemara, the Gemara also, the Rishonim discuss whether or not that Gemara has anything to do with the issue discussed also in Bava Metzia of Eidav B'chassam of Zachimah. There's a view, Abaya has the view, the Eidav B'chassam of Zachimah. Normally, even if you hold Eide Chassima Karsi, you still have to hand over the document. There needs to be a Mesira. Until there's a Mesira, there's no Kinyan. Right? Once there is a Mesira, there's a Kinyan Bishas Mesira, based on the Chassima Sa'edim according to Rabbi Meir, and based on the Mesiras, you know, Ha'shtar, Bifnei Eidim, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But both agree that all things being equal, right, the Kinyan does not begin before the Mesira. However, the view of Eidav B'chassam of Zachinlo is the view that says not true. The Eidim are not just, you know, Koveya, they also, when they're Chosein, that's also the Zman of the Kinyan. Now, it's only the Zman of the Kinyan if there ends up being a Mesira, but when there's a Mesira, then the Zman goes L'mafreya from the time of the Chassid. So without going into too much details, the language is very good. I should have put it here, but I didn't. But if you look at the Ra'ah in Ksubas, Andaf, Tzadi, Dalet, Amud Aleph, so the Ra'ah discusses the following question. The truth is the Ramban discusses this question here on Pevav Amud Aleph, in the Muchamos, and Sefer Zchus, etc. So the, you know, the Ramban discusses, well, if you hold Eidav B'chassam of Zachinlo, right, you should only be able to say that, you know, if you hold the Eidei Chassima are Karsi. Right? And therefore, you know, that's, you know, one of the points that the Ramban is trying to make, and that is that, you know, if the, you have to hold like the Rif, that Rabbi Eliezer, you know, also believes in Eidei Chassima, because otherwise he wouldn't have any connection to this principle of Eidav B'chassam of, you know, Zachinlo. Great. The Ra'ah doesn't mention the Ramban, although he was a Talmud of the Ramban, and clearly he's working off of what the Ramban wrote in Gittin, but the Ra'ah in Ksuvah just has the following, for other reasons, other cheshbonos, he says, and you should know, like the Da'alacha or something like that, like, you know, he bangs on the table and, you know, he's making a statement. I don't know if he was Rogil, you know, like Rabbi Tam, to make this statement, but this is what he says. He says, you should know that Eidav B'chassam of Zachinlo, one at a point. The Ra'ah, of course, one of the Chachmei Sfar, the Talmud of the Ramban, holds like the Rif, right? That according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Eidav Mesira Karsi, either Eidav Mesira or Eidav Chassim. However, says the Ra'ah, only the Eidei Chassima of Rabbi Meir, right, are possibly open to Eidav B'chassam of Zachinlo. But the Eidei Chassima that Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Rif, thinks work, they would never, never fit with the position of Eidav B'chassam of Zachinlo. Wow. That's quite a statement. So what does he... If you look, I should have brought the language, but if you look at it, what he basically says, what he's saying is, that even though the Rif, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right, seems to be saying Rabbi Meir plus. I hold like Rabbi Meir. I also think, or Eidei Mesira work, or maybe I think Eidei Mesira are preferable to Rabbi Meir, Eidei Chasim. Right? Says the Ra'ah, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. The Eidei Chasim of Rabbi Meir are about, you know, Kenyan. The Eidei Chasim are really the Koveya. And therefore you can have a Deya that says, Eidei B'chasim of Zachin Lo. Not only are they the crucial defining component in a shtar, but beyond that, even beyond that, you know, you can have a view that says that as long as there's a Mesira, then Igloi Milsa, that the Zman, Hakinyan, is from the time of the Chassid. It's almost like an artificial obstruction, right, to delay the Zman Achalos, you know, until the Mesira. But like, you know, the chasima is the davar akona. That's the view of the Roy. But that's not the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Even if Rabbi Eliezer believes that there's any chasima, now it's interesting the way he formulates it. He says, he'll just tell you that Eidei Mesira, right, or Eidei chasima, these are different ways, you know, to accomplish, you know, a shvuyei shtara. But they're not, you know, kone, they're not the davar kone. The davar kone is, you know, is the mesiras hashtar, with the shtar. Therefore, Eidei B'chasim of Zachin Lo, you know, just because it works for Rabbi Meir Eidei Chasima, doesn't mean it works for Rabbi Eliezer Eidei Chasima. So I believe, as far as I know, the first person to introduce this conceptual breakthrough, namely, that the Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer and the Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Meir superficially look the same, right? But the fact that Rabbi Eliezer also believes in Eidei Mesira ends up, you know, refining how we understand his Eidei Chasima, right? And that there's a qualitative difference between it. As far as I know, the Ra'ah, you know, gets credit for that. But the Ran went further with it. The Ran, as we read a couple of weeks ago, in a very, very famous passage, the Ra'ah is not so famous, but this Ran is, you know, unbelievably famous. And what the Ran says is that the Rif never said Eidei Chasima Karsi, and that's why the claim that he should have said Af Eidei Mesira Karsi linguistically is wrong. And that all the questions posed against the Rif, which all presuppose that you can kind of, you know, interchangeably substitute, you know, Rabbi Meir's Eidei Chasima for Rabbi Eliezer's, you know, acceptance of Eidei Chasima, conceptually, it's all completely wrong. Really, Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Meir are Eidei Chasima, and they're Karsi. The Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer are virtual Eidei Mesira. Really, the Mesira is koreses, as long as it's mitzuraf to Eidim. There are two ways it can be mitzuraf to Eidim. One is you have living, breathing, you know, present Eidim. And the other is if you have virtual Eidim. I mean, you have the ability to know what happened at the Mesira, even though they're not actually physically there, but through Raya, right, they can attest, they can be used to establish legally what took place, virtual Eidim. So what I tried to suggest the other day is something which I think is very plausible, and it's a little bit, ends up being actually a little bit sharp and ironic, if that part of it is true, and that is that if you take this view, so maybe a way to look at the argument between Rabbi Natan, right, and the Rif and the Rambam, you know, is that really it's an argument, it's not really actually an argument, sorry, at all. Because what we know from Rabbeinu Tam is what he thinks about the Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Meir. Right? But, of course, Rabbeinu Tam's not in the game. You know, there are no Eidei Chasima for Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbeinu Tam. You know, he's one of the, you know, he's part of the world that says neither one is Gores, you know, the other one's perspective on Shtaros. But Lu Yetzuyer, let's say for a moment, like, you know, he could put himself, you know, in the Rift world, right? Or that's one way of saying it. Or just to put it in a different way, if we could interview the Rambam on the Rift, and we could ask him, do you think, like, that Rabbi Meir's Eide Chasima, you know, are good enough for Eide Kiyum as well? It's not inconceivable that they would say, you know, B'shum Panim Va'ofen Lo. Absolutely not. How come we're saying that Eide Chasima for us, who paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, but they're still Eide Chasima, why are they good enough for us if they're not good enough for Rabbi Meir? The answer is because for Rabbi Meir, they're real Eide Chasima. Right? And if the Ran is right, for us, they're virtual Eide Nesira. And therefore, that's the difference. Okay, so that's one perspective. But now I want to move on to the second perspective. This will take a little bit till next week also, because I came a little late. And that is to discuss it from an Eide Kiyum point of view. So I just wanted to try to show, and we've talked about this other years, but this particular Rabbi Natan aspect of it is a very important dimension. And that is, the question may very well be not revolving around Eide Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer and, you know, virtual Eide Nesira, that whole bit. But maybe this is really an argument about the nature of Eide Kiyum themselves. Namely, when we speak about Eide Kiyum, when we give it the name Eide Kiyum, it's a little bit of a misnomer, not really, you know, but maybe. Or quite to some fashion, it might be a misnomer. We give it the name Eide Kiyum because it's Pishnayim Edim Yokum Davar, for sure. So that already legitimizes it. But we also give it that name unquestionably, as far as you know, as far as what makes sense, you know, from the Hemshech of the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Samechet, which we're going to read in a second. But when you look at the whole Gemara, it's a very kind of interesting or intriguing Shakla Vitaria. And even before you get to that line, what we have is really two, you know, perspectives that present themselves on how Eide Kiyum or what Eide Kiyum is. Are Eide Kiyum regular Eidim, regular Eide Birur? The difference is only that the stakes are sufficiently high that you cannot trust or risk the potential, you know, that, you know, of just relying, you know, on Hodas Baldin, as we'll see in a moment. And therefore, you need to secure the evidence, the raya. So basically, it's not that Eide Kiyum are fundamentally different in their function or role or definition. It's more that, you know, if, as we'll see in a moment, if, you know, if we're going to do a $1 million deal, right, but, you know, we want to risk, you know, being honest, sounds funny, but, you know, so matov, as long as there's no, you know, controversy and we're all being honest, you know, so then even in the absence of evidence or proof, you know, we both agree what happened, so that's fine. However, when it comes to Ishus, a little bit like the language of the Rambam, you know, right now she's an erva and, you know, potentially, you know, things that can happen, you know, will trigger, you know, a capital offense, and then a few hours later, you know, she's muteris l'shuk, and we don't need any evidence for that change. That kind of an idea. We'll see how that works in the Rambam. So that's one perspective, which means Eide Kiyum, what we call Eide Kiyum, are really a guaranteed Eide Birur. We're not allowing anybody to take the risks here. The stakes are too high, number one, and the people who might be interested or willing to take the risks, it's not up to them. They're not the bailiff. I'll explain inside in a minute. Or no. Is the idea that Eide Kiyum function in a totally different way. Typically, Eidim are about evidence. It's about proof that something took place. And in the case of Eide Kiyum, what we're talking about is to formalize or solemnize, you know, a certain event, to give it a certain, you know, to lend it a certain transcendence so that it is, you know, more, it's spiritually, you know, more than what it physically looks like. So Let's look at the Gemara in Kiddushin for a moment. The Gemara says, "My Havalah." The background is that the Gemara is discussing whether in Bekadesh Bifnei Eidachad Choshen Kiddushin or in Choshen Kiddushin. If you do a Kiddushin in the presence of one witness, right? Is that going to work or not? So the Gemara goes back and forth. Says the Gemara, "What's the upshot? My Havalah? Like what's going on? What's the Maskan?" Says the Gemara, "Rav Kahana Amar, in Choshen LeKiddushin," meaning it's nothing. If you're Mekadesh Bifnei Eidachad, you don't need a get misafek or mechumra because nothing happened. You know, it was a fraudulent, you know, kinyan. It was an empty gesture. Says the Gemara, "Rav Papa Amar, Choshen LeKiddushin." The Papa disagrees. Rav Papa says, if there's a Kiddushin Bifnei Eidachad, it's not good enough to rely on, right? But it's problematic enough, you know, to be worried about, and you would need a get misafek. Says it, Rav Asha l'Rav Kahana, my daite. Says, what are you thinking when you said, ein choshen l'kiddusha? Meaning that the absence of two witnesses means vadai, it's an empty gesture. What were you thinking? You were thinking the yalfis, davar, davar, mimamon. Because the source of Eidus, right, is Davar, Yakum Davar, and that says Davar by Mamon, Davar by other things, right, and therefore, Ma'ala Halan, Odas, Baldin, Kemedim Dami, Avkan, Odas, Din, Kemedim Dami. If the source of requiring two Eidim is, you know, Davar, Davar mi Mamon, then why don't we, you know, consistently apply that analogy? Because the Dini Mamon is, you know, if the two affected parties, you know, were to both acknowledge that the transaction took place, you know, then even in the absence of witnesses, that wouldn't be a problem. Reuven and Shimon both agree that they, as we'll see in a moment, that they split up their partnership, right? So if it's Dini Mamon is, which is where you need two Eidim, sure you need two Eidim if there's a dispute. But if there's, you know, acknowledgement of the status, then hodos baldin is kabedim dam. So if the man and the woman agree that she was miskadeshes or he was mekadesh bifnei echad, or even b'li shum edim, you know, for learning from mamon, then the paradigm should lead us to think that it should work. Says the Gemara, and this is the key line, Amale. You can't compare these two things. Hasam lo kachayev lachrin. Hacha kachayev lachrin. The difference is that in Dine Mamanis, right, the affected parties are the two protagonists. There's no other, you know, individual, you know, who's, you know, detrimentally affected by their hodah. And therefore, it is hodah spaldin, and it is kamei edim dami. But here, when it comes to Kiddushin, says the Gemara, it's Chav Lachrini. There are other people who are, you know, undermined. Potentially, their status is affected as well. We'll see in a moment, you know, what that means. Okay. So the question is this. The Havamid of the Gemara, clearly, for a moment, the Gemara was thinking, the need for Edim in Ishus, it's like Mamon completely. Not more. Ad kedei kach, that you would even apply odas valdin kameidim dami. Meaning, namely, it begins and it ends with bi. That was the habamid of the Gemara. He had to freeze frame that shaklavataria when the Gemara says, you know, imala halan, afkan, that's what the Gemara is saying. Right? I mean, of course they're saying, the habamid was that, you know, odas valdin kameidim dami works in Ishus. But for our bigger purposes, meaning, there's no qualitative difference between Eidus in Ishus and Mamon. It's all about truth and falsehood. It's all about Biur. Right? Now, when the Gemara answers, Amale Hasam, Lo Kachai Vachri, Kacha, Kachai Vachri, there are really two ways that you can understand the Gemara, conceptually. One is that the Gemara is, you know, continuing its assumption, and it is tweaking, you know, its conclusion. meaning conceptually what we've been saying, which is that the Eidus and Ishus comes from and is not fundamentally different than, you know, Eidus and Mammon. That remains true. However, what's not true is the conclusion. Namely, you were going to say, therefore, you know, afilu, you know, hiskadesh, you know, osav, beino levena, or bifnei decha, that would be good enough, because they're both admitting what took place. Kamishmai galia, at least, they should be married, right? Therefore, you should need a get. So that part is wrong, because we made an adjustment. Namely, Chav Lachrini says, there's no hodas baldin. Oh, there's no hodas baldin, right? Or maybe it says even more than that. Maybe it tells us that, you know, not only is there no hodas baldin, but we're not even willing to risk, right, any kind, you know, of, you know, situation. In other words, let's say, oh, well, we're willing to take the consequences. We want to be married, right? If somebody is ma'arer, so there's no hodas baldin, then we'll be in trouble. But for now, you know, kamishmaya galia, at least, you know, we're married because we, you know, actually we did all the right kinyanim or rituals or whatever they may be. And the role of Edim is a role that is more pragmatic about providing evidence. That's no good. Chayiv Lachrini means probably not only is there no hodas baldin, but you need a guaranteed, you know, birur in this case, because you're not, for the same reason there's no hodas baldin. It's not just Sam and Samantha, who we spoke about 2 weeks ago. It's, you know, other, let's take Rashi for the moment. It's also the krovim of Sam and Samantha. So, you know, it's not up to them, you know, to risk it, frankly. The Rabbanu Shalom doesn't allow them to risk it either, because it's not their call to make. And therefore, not only is there no hodas baldin, but there's a din that kiddushin, right, requires eidei biur. So that is one way to read the Gemara. But then hayotze mikolzeh, you walk away from the Gemara, basically, is that, you know, call it, you want to call it something different, great. Call it eidei kiyum if you want. Not sure if that, you know, is really even justified if you take this perspective. But if you think by kiyum that you mean, you know, a guarantee or a tzorech birur, then fine, or don't call it that. But either way, it belongs fundamentally to the world of this. There are two types of edus. There's only one type of edus, eidei birur, just that sometimes the maisa, right, there's an ikuv that without a birur, without accompanying birur, we're not going to legally recognize, you know, certain change or certain status. That's one way to read the Gemara. But again, if that's the case, then there's no reason to mandate any further, you know, differences, frankly, between Eidei Birur and Eidei Kiyum, we'll call it that for the moment, except those, you know, that have to do with Chav Lachrini or not risking it, or you know, needing the guarantee of Birur, anything that flows or stems from these particular considerations that, of course, are required. But there's no reason to, you know, expand it or extend it, because we're talking about one concept of Eidus. But there's another way to read the Gemara, in my opinion. I believe in Rishonim as well, although they don't zero in on this explicitly. And that is, the other way to read the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying something that is a 180-degree turn. What the Gemara was saying was, you thought to apply Hodas Baldin, you thought that just because we learn the number of Eidim, you know, from Dine Mominis, that basically this is Eidei Birur, or maybe even a guarantee of Birur. It's not. It's a different notion of Eidus completely. After all, Ishus is a chalos. Ishus is Chav Lachrini. Not it's Chav Lachrini, therefore narrowly, you know, we're not going to, you know, rely on the two of you because there are more than two people affected. The world is affected, or at least the families are affected. No. The fact that the world is affected, the families are affected, That in itself is a litmus test. That in itself indicates that Ishus is transcendent, that Ishus is a chalos, that Ishus is a creation, not just an arrangement, it's not just a, you know, mutual legal rights and responsibility. It's all that, of course. But it's, when you put it all together, it's so much more than that. And there's a shemesh ish, and there's, you know, the first step in the nesuin of Baal ki ishto, the existential bond, and so on and so forth. Ad kedei kach, that in a way, the chav l'achrini, instead of narrowly understood, is like a complete, you know, a complete turn of direction to a whole different concept. Now, it's interesting, but if that's the case, let's say it this way, then not only do we have, we can appreciate much better, you know, that, you know, Kol HaOlam calls the Edim of Ishus Edei Kiyum, and not just Edei Birur, because again, but in general, the tendency would be to expand the differences, again, not, you know, in an unreasonable way, but since we're talking about very different, one is a solemnizing, formalizing, you know, transcendent, you know, creating function, whereas the other is just the regular birur, regular evidence, evidentiary role. So we would expect, or we could anticipate, that there might be other, many, quite a few other nafkamina as well. Or we certainly should be looking for cases where you have raya, but you don't have what seems to fulfill this requirement of a solemnizing, you know, or stature of presence. Okay? So we'll get to that in just a second. Before we do, so number one, this should affect, you know, how expansive the differences are, the type of differences, the number of differences, etc. Number less important than the type. It should also affect how we understand chav l'achrini. Because again, if you're taking the first perspective, so any chav l'achrini will do. Right? As long as I can prove that todas baldin, there's more than two people involved in this marriage, not in the marriage, but in marriage. Right? So, you know, that's good, that's fine. There's no todas baldin. Or it's a kind of a representation of the fact, you know, a reflection of the embodiment of the fact that, you know, you can't take risks. It's not up to you to risk. You have to have guaranteed birur. There are things at stake here. That's pretty easy, you know, to document. However, if what we're trying to say is this is a chalos, this is like ishus, this isn't just, you know, a tangle of, or a web of, you know, of rights and responsibilities alone. The rights and responsibilities flow from the chalos, or they create something that is more than the sum of its parts, and so on and so forth. So then, the idea of chav l'achrini, you know, l'kula and l'chumra, is going to be different than simply demonstrating, we'll see that in just a minute, just, you know, because it's going to be kind of the embodiment, again, of this notion. Yeah?
Why don't you say in Dovah Shavar Pachal Bishnayim?
No.
Why isn't that germane here to this conversation?
What is it?
Ein dover shebe'er v'pachal
v'shnayim. Yeah, but ein dover shebe'er v'pachal v'shnayim also means in things like znus, right, which are not a chalos, right?
No, but it certainly applies here to kiddushin.
It does, but I'm saying the phrase. This is a little bit. You get into the whole problem of which we'll get to soon. The Gemara in, you know, in Tzuvos, but the Gemara actually had havamina when it comes to znus. You should also require something like Edei Kiyum. Right. The Gemara says, like, you know, if there was a case of Znus, but there were no Edim, you know, are there legal consequences? So no. The answer is, in terms of the Baal and the Isha themselves, there are.
They need Kapora?
What? Sure. Okay,
but they don't.
And they're Asurim, you know, there's Shavin Afshe Chatichadi Surah and all those kind of things. So the Gemara had Habamina. The Gemara says, why ain't Dov Shavar Pachas Mishnayim? If there were two Aden, like, you know, so the Gemara says, yeah, doesn't mean it didn't happen. So we'll see in a moment. Reb Chaim, for example, when he wants to explain what's unique about Edei Kiyum, he takes certainly the second view, but I'll show you already that Rishonim take the second view. So Reb Chaim makes this point. He says, you know, that's the difference between Ein Dov Shavar Pachas Mishnayim and Znus,
yeah.
as opposed to the need for Eidei Gio. You know, in one, it's a higher standard of Eidus, you know, because there's a lot at stake. You know, it's a higher level of the Biur. But what we're talking about is something, you know, more than that. We're talking about creating chalas. Anyway, the continuation of the Gemara is really fascinating and kind of highlights this. It just, this is my theory. I'm pretty sure it's true. I just haven't seen what I say. But the Gemara goes on to say, Mar Zutra v'Rav Ada Saba b'nei d'Rav Mari, Bar Iser, Polig Nichsayu b'Hadi Adadi. So these two, Amoraim, they obviously had a partnership, and then they split up their partnership. Good. Also, l'kamei d'Rav Ashi, so they both came in the presence of Rav Ashi. Umrule, they said to him, Al pishnayim edim amar achman. Torah says you need two edim, right? For biur, right? For din Torah. D'i boi l'meheder l'matzi hadrabu. Does this mean that in order to create any kind of legal change, right, you need the presence of edim? And therefore, the fact that we split up our partnership privately without edim means that it wasn't legal. And it didn't that physically didn't happen, but that legally it was inconsequential and therefore legally didn't register. Vanan loha. I'm sorry, I said it the wrong way. The boy lemheder lemotzi hadri behu is the Torah saying vanan lohadri. Odilma is I said the opposite. The first possibility is that what the Torah meant was, right, that if you have two witnesses, then nobody can, you know, try to get out of what they did, because you have evidence. But in our case, Anan lo hadri, right? We're not, you know, denying, you know, that we split our partnership. So there's no need for edim, and therefore the, you know, transaction is effective. Sorry, that's the way. O dilma lo mekayma milsa el basadi, or is the point not that, you know, if there's a dispute, it needs two witnesses to establish, you know, a change in status, but that legally nothing happens without the presence of witnesses. And therefore what took place, even though we both acknowledge it, was legally, right, insignificant, inconsequential, because there weren't witnesses. Now here is where the Gemara uses the expression, lo mekayma. This is where the expression of Enikium comes from. What's the Gemara's answer? Unequivocally, Amar Lehu, right? Rav Ashi answered them, Lo Ibri Sahadi al Lashak. The only reason you need witnesses, right, is to, you know, establish truth and falsehood. But if you're being honest and you admit that the transaction took place, you both admit that you split up your partnership, then even if you want now to be chozer on that, not to say it didn't happen, but like, oh, we regret it, but you did it. But you admit that you did it. Right? Lo Ibri Sadi El Shakri. So Lo Ibri Sadi El Shakri became the watchword. This is ironic. Like, it's all over the place. You know? It became like a very popular phrase because of this Gemara. Whatever you want to say, oh, Eidei Birur, you know, but only Eidei Birur. So you say, Lo Ibri Sadi El Shakri. Comes trippingly off your tongue. It's like a, you know, nice, you know. However, what people know less is, as far as I know, this is the Gemara that formulates, you know, the idea of Eidei Kiyum as Eidei Kiyum. Just as a side of a Choshen Mishpat transaction, which is rejected. But what ended up happening was that phrase, Eidei Kiyum, it's almost like they, you know, now they're reading the Gemara, like you can read the Gemara again in two ways. One is, we just finished saying, you know, that because of the narrow but important implications of Chav Lachrini, even though Dine Mamanis and Ishus, you know, are not so different, and it's still true that Lo Ibri Sadi al Lashakri, but whenever there's, you know, Chav Lachrini, you need a guaranteed Birur. Right? So when the Gemara says in the end, Lo Ibri Sadi al Shakri, it's true about both, except that one is a risk, you know, potential or Hodas Baldin, you know, aspect to it, and the other doesn't. But all Eidus is Layim Brisani L'Shakri. Right? Or, the other way to read the Gemara is, the Gemara says, the Gemara was understood like saying, like, Chav L'Achrini. And Chav L'Achrini means Eidikiyu. So then the Gemara says, ooh, there's Eidikiyu. Maybe in Dini Mamanus is Eidikiyu, at least in Kinyanim, you know, too. Maybe not in, you know, other things, like, you know, I borrowed money, I didn't borrow money. You know, that's purely a Bira question. Right? But, you know, when it comes to Kinyan, transaction, maybe that's also Kiyum, just like the, you know, just like when there's Chav L'Achrini. Right? And the Gemara says, no, not Mamanus. Mamanus is Slayim Brasani al-Shakri. But Eide Kiyum is Eide Kiyum. Anyway, this is I have to stop in a few minutes, but I should penalize you from, you know, the, you know, fire in the manhole and, you know, in Kew Gardens. But, so this is maybe the argument between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif and the Rama, except that we'll, you know, see whether it comes out right or not. Meaning, when you think about it, Rabbeinu Tam is telling you that what? That Eide Chasima of Rameir, which work for Rameir, right? Eide Chasima worked for Rabbi Meir on a shtar level, but they work even for Rabbi Eliezer and certainly for Rabbi Meir, right, on a raya level. Because if you have Eide Chasima, according to everybody, we apply the din of Reish Lakish, which is Eidem Achasum Malashtar, Nasa Kamisha Nechkar Ibusam the Bezdin. So I'm not talking about Kinyan for the moment, I'm talking about Raya. If you have Eide Chasima, the assumption is, right, that there was Eide, or that there were, let's say, Eide Masira, right, and so on. So do Eide Chasima work? Would Eide Chasima work for Eide Kiyum? Why not? If all you require in Eide Kiyum, right, is guaranteed Biur. In other words, if your problem is a problem of, you know, Chav L'Achrini, and therefore you can't rely on Hodas Baldin, or you can't just, you know, they can't say, well, you know, we'll risk it. Kamishmaya Galia until somebody challenges us. Well, the Eide Chasima are fine. Right? They create the Kinyan Shtar, the Geirushin, and they're also Raya on the Mesira. So for Rabbi Meir, who doesn't require any Mesira, Eide Chasima are Karsi, and Eide Chasima are Raya, there should be no problem. However, if Eide Kiyum are not Eide Birur, but you need them guaranteed, but they are totally different kind of Eidus. So they're not Raya. They're what? They lend stature. Their presence solemnizes. Right? It gives like a certain tone, you know, to the ceremony, which is triggering this, you know, transformation, this Yitzhiras HaChalos, etc. So then it's very possible, you know, that you would need real Eidim. So maybe the argument is that Rabbeinu Tam was saying, listen, if we're talking about the Kinyan Geirushin, the Shtar Geirushin, the Raya of Geirushin, according to Rabbi Meir, the Chasima is all you need. But that's not going to help you for any kiyum. And maybe the Rif and the Rambam were saying, no, any kiyum is tzorach biur. We'll see whether that's true or not. But I think that might be true for the Rambam in Gerushin, or maybe with another adjustment. Oh, so this idea, let me just give one other example of it, the famous one, the Ritva, and then I want to talk a little bit more expansively about it, is really highlighted, this idea that any kiyum may be, you know, something, you know, fundamentally different by the Ritva and by Reb Chaim, and I think also by the Rabbeinu Tam. So what is the Ritva? With that, we'll conclude for today. So we'll go through over time. This is the Ritva on page 2. Okay. One of the most famous Ritvas. It's actually a quote from the Ra'ah. Okay. The Ra'ah doesn't get enough credit in general. I'm like a campaign to raise his profile. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'ah and of the Rajba, but much, much more of the Ra'ah than the Rajba. I've mentioned this in the past. That's why it's part of the campaign. But the reason that the Ritva often is seems very important, sometimes in Kiddush, in his own right, but many of the Kiddushim of the Ritva that he's really well known for are actually B'Shem Ha'Ra'ah.
But he didn't write, the Ra'ah didn't write Sefer, right?
He didn't what?
You don't have Sefer Ra'ah separately.
No, we do have, so number one, he wrote the you know, the Bedek HaBayis, right, which is enormous on all of, you know, Yisra V'Hatter. We have his parish on Ksuvas, on the whole Masech of Ksuvas. I mentioned, I was referring to that before. We have the Ra'ah on Brachos. I mean, wherever we have it, and you can trace it, you know, it's clear. But even in other places, you know, where the Ritva is very mechudash, if you read it, he'll sometimes say, B'Shem, you know, Rabosav, or B'Shem Hara'ah. This is an example of it. We just, you know, we're usually in the Shita, we don't care about the authorship, which is fine. But, you know, at a certain point, it's important to know, because then you say, ah, the Ra'ah. Like, you know, he has a certain, you know, orientation, you know, and that helps you, you know, anticipate and help. Anyway, so this is on the Gemara in Kiddushin, Mem Gimel Amin Aleph. The Gemara discusses whether Shliach Na'asa Eid, a whole interesting discussion. Okay, so the, I'm just trying to think what the best. This is starting from line 25. The question that the Ritva is discussing. Let's go start from 39 because we're a little bit late. Is the question of whether or not you need yichud ha'edim at a wedding. Like if you ever go to a wedding, you know, and you know, people here probably certainly all been to weddings, of many of your own. So you'll see that, you know, the Masada Kiddushin often is miyache, or asks the husband to be miyache the Edim, and to, you know, assign, you know, the Edim very specifically, you know, to the exclusion of all others, or whatever the nusach is, doesn't really matter so much, but a way of, you know, establishing that the people in the crowd, or even the people, the relatives who are standing at the chuppah are not the Edim, only the Edim that are designated. The reason for that is the problem of in Shabbat Mitzasa Batla Kula. And what makes a kat, and therefore a problem of in Shabbat Mitzasa Batla Kula, is a little bit of a complicated topic in its own right. It's a first, end of the first parak of Makos, you know, problem. Does it depend on the Edim or what they think? Does it depend on the, you know, the Nidonim, you know, the protagonists, you know, and so does it depend on Shas Re'iya? Does it depend on Shas Hagada? I mean, this is a sensational Ra'ah. So the Ritva says, V'chein Omer, Mori Neru, this is the Ra'ah. The Afagav Dlo Be'inam B'Kiddushin Atem Eidai, Heichet Deleke Psulim Ba'oso Maimed, Tzorch Yu Eidim Sham, Ulafuke hitmin la edim achori ageder. Oh. One second. Oh, you know what? I should start earlier. One second. No, I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start. That's the second one. One second. Let's start from the beginning. So the Gemara says on 26. Rav Amar Shliach the Kiddushin Na'asa Eid. The Gemara wants to know whether Shliach can serve two functions. Can he wear the hat of Eidus and also the hat of Eidus at the same Shlichus at the same time? Or by being a Shliach, does that make him kind of like a Baldavar and that would disqualify him from being an aid, you know, because he needs to be, you know, detached from the Baldavar? That's an interesting question. So Rav Amar Shliach the Kiddushin Na'asa Eid, By taima imshum delo amar lo heavily aid elamiata kide shisha b'fnishenim v'lo amar tamedai achanami delo haba kiddushin. So this gets into a discussion. When you have Eidei Kiddushin, do you need Atem Eidai? Do you need the appointment of the husband to say, I designate you as my Eidai? Pirish, Vavadai, Lo Efshar, De Bamomon, Huda Beinan Atem Eidai, Kiddushin Yomer Mashata, Hayisiba. You think that the requirement of Atem Eidai, that makes sense in Dine Mamadis, because we're worried that, you know, if he doesn't say Atem Eidai, maybe he's not serious. He'll say Meshata Ayisibach. I was just joking. I wasn't taking it seriously. Osha Lola has BS Atzmo Asisi. Or he had some other, he was putting on a show for somebody. Ava Bekidushin Deleika Lememar Kochad Mihani. Right? Lo Be'ina Atameida V'chein Hilchasa. But in Kiddushin, where these things don't apply, so maybe there's no requirement to designate Adim to say Atameida. Miu Kolhecha Shiesh Ba'osa Maimed K'sherim U'psulim. However, now the Ritva is talking, if there are in the group Sherim and Psulim, O Krovim, right? So then, Tzorech Liached Eidei HaKiddushin. Then you have to designate the Eidei HaKiddushin specifically. Why? The Elo, because if not, Kivin De'ika Eid Pasul Beinehem, since you have disqualified Eidim among them, Eidus Kulam Betela, that is going to jeopardize the whole cut. Yafagav the Amar Lemechse Asina is playing off the Gemara in the end of the first parak of Makos. You say to him, "Oh, we came." Let's say the Edom say, the Krovim or the Psulim say, "We just came to, you know, to watch Lemechse Asina, not La Sude, you know, to testify." The Chi Amrinan Hasan, the Amrinan Lemechse Asisun, O La Sido Asisun. When the Gemara and Mako says, we asked him, what was your intention? And if they say, oh, we only came to, you know, to not to gossip, let's say, but to gaze, you know, then we'll say, okay, that's not a problem of Batum, it's also Batum. Here's the big breakthrough of the Ritva. Hainu bedine mamunis. U bedine nefashos. That's in mamunis and nefashos. If they say, you know, we came to see what was happening, to witness, you know, the event, not to be Adam on the event. That's fine in Dina Mamunas and even in Dina Nefashos. Why? She'enu edus miskayemes ad sheboim lebezdin v'shas re'ia lo chashiv edus. Because when it comes to either Dina Mamunas or Dina Nefashos, the critical moment is the moment that they come to testify in court. The shame aid, this is a massive, massive argument. Rashi and Makos and Rajban, Baba Basra, are of the opinion that the shame aid, a person becomes an aid, b'shas ru'iyah, when he actually witnesses the event, when he experiences it. And the Balitosis, and most of the Chachmei Sfarad, all over Shas, Makos, Rosh Hashanah, Baba Basra, Ksuvas, you know, Gittin, most of the Balitosis and Chachmei Sfarad say, no, you only become an aid at Shas, you know, Bezdin, Shas HaGadah B'Bezdin. So what the Ra'ah, or the Ritva, here is saying is, you only become an aid B'Shas Bezdin in Mamunus and in the Fashas. Listen to this. Aval Hacha B'Kiddushin, Eina Eidus Ba'ali Ame Sadavar Bilvad, but when it comes to Kiddushin, the Eidim are not there, right, to ascertain what happened as witnesses in the normal biur sense. Ela afilu yadina dachi kushta de milsa shekidsha. Even if we knew 1,000%, right, that this action took place, the ritual took place, eina mikudeshes velo edus, the kiddushin is nothing absent the edim. The eina kiddushin kiyum, hence the language of Ekiyum, right? Below Eidos, Ugzeres HaKosovu. The Kima Dekeim, this is a huge breakthrough conceptually. Shas Maisa, Hu Shas Eidusan. It's true that when it comes to Nefashos and Mamonos, says the Ritva. The critical moment is Haggadah Bebezdin, because that's when Birur is really established. But when it comes to Kiddushin, it's the presence of the Edim, not knowledge that the event took place. And if that's the case, if it's the presence, then it's the actual event that is the critical moment, not the testimony about it. So it's not when they come to Bezdin that they become Edim. Dafka Ede Kiyum, the shame aid is different. That's an extraordinary idea. The Kiva de Ikatsir of Psule Edus Imaem, Edus Kulam Betela. Normally, if there are Edim, Beshas Re'iya, and it's Dini Mamanus or Dini Nefashos, we don't care. I mean, Rashi cares, and the Rajbam care. But the Balitosis and the, you know, Ramban and Chachmei Sfarad, they don't usually care. Because that's not when you become an aid. So there's no batla matasa, batla kula. But when it comes to Kiddushin, that's the exception. Because of the concept of Eide Kiyum, understood in this transcendent, fundamentally different way, the definition of aid is different in Ishus than everywhere else. Dumya debi alma, kishyesh tzirup psul aidus kishabayin lahayim bebezdin, sheaidus kulam betein. Right? The critical moment is when there's Eidah Shabbat L'Mitzasa. The critical moment in Mamon and in Nefashos is in court. The critical moment in a marriage is at the Chuppah. Yeah.
He says that the reason why this exists is because it's a Kseir Sakasa.
Yeah.
But sort of where does he pull that out from? What sort of Kseir Sakasa?
So that's a great point. Like, what is the Kseir Sakasa? Yeah, unless it's, you know, Yakum Davar.
So like the Rashba. The Rashba above, he pulls out, he says, oh, well, you have Yakum Davar, and that tells you...
Except that the Rashba, we'll see, the Rashba really goes the other way. Rashba says, like, Davar Davar, so, like, how can you ever get out of the... You know, we'll see the Rashba. But the, I mean, the Rashba, you know, but in...
right above.
In Kiddushin.
Yeah.
In Samchei, yeah. So we'll get to that. That's a very important Rashba. But in a way, the Rashba is the opposite of the Ritva, as we'll see. So, yeah, that's a great point, because, like, where's the Kseres HaKosek? Unless it's the language of Yakum, you know, which is to teach you that there is such an idea, maybe, of Lekiyum Mein Belsa. But otherwise, it's right. It's a great point. V'chi amrino l'mechse asisun ol asude asisun hayu heche da'asu l'mechse v'shas maisa. Kach hora rabbeinu neru, that's why I was telling you it's from the Ra'ah. This is the psak of the Ra'ah, halacha l'maisa. Aval ein ze da'as ha'mefarshim. Right? That's not the consensus view. Nonetheless, for Roy Lach, good Talmud. So then he went to the, but not out of loyalty, he believed it. So then he tells you about the next insight I'm going over. So I'll just tell you what it is, and then we'll talk more next time and contrast it with the Rajba. The Chain Omer Mori Neru, that's the Ra'ah again. Da'afagav lo binim kiddushin atav edai, hechid delekib psulim bo'samayim. Let's say there are only ksheirim at the wedding. So then you don't need Yichud Eidim because you don't have a Tosaf of Lagula problem. Right? Meaning what?
No relatives.
No relatives. That's unbelievable, right? That's a good, like, a trivia thing, like, you know. The Ra'ah's thinking, yeah, a wedding without relatives. Like a COVID wedding, you know, where they only have the relatives.
It could be a gera. It could be a gera.
What's that?
A gera. There's no COVID.
That's a great point. Actually, that's the Raj, by the way, you should know, and we'll speak about that next time. The Rashi says, what is Chav Lachrini? The Mishpach.
Right, yeah.
So the Rajba says, and what about Ger Shekideh Shekiores? He doesn't need any Giyam.
Right.
But you're right, that's a great point. They say it's not, I mean, I was thinking, you know, no parents, no children, no Uncle Bob, you know. Let's just get married. You're thinking, no, don't get out again.
No,
you're much more charitable. okay. Anyway, so hechet l'chikim psul mosa maimad tzorchiu edim sham. Listen to that. Why? Ula fuke hitmin la edim achori ageder. This is also fascinating. So he says, let's say you have, we used to call them the Cracker Jack, weddings, back in the day, right? So, there are witnesses, but the chassan and kala don't know they're witnesses. So is that a good wedding or not? There are edim, but they're not aware. So he says, chada velo chashiva edus b'davar shegufa davar tzarech la'edus. This is, again, part of the conceptual breakthrough. He said, this is the Ra'al Ishitasa. The Ra'al says, listen, if this were an Eidei Biur problem, you know, then if the Eidim are there, even though you don't know they're there, you know, that would be still a problem. Because really, the event doesn't need the Eidim. The Eidim are evidence. So you've got your evidence, right? They don't need to know that they have their evidence as long as they have evidence. Ah. But if it's an Eidus b'davar shegufa davar tzorech la'edus, good language, meaning where the definition of the event requires it, ela b'davar shetzorech Eidus mishum shikra, as opposed to, you know, if you have Eidus only for birur, then me'achorei hageder is fine. But if you have Eidus there as part of the definition, then the chasan and kala need to know they're there. Otherwise, as far as they know, it's fascinating. It's not obvious. Even once you say it, it's not obvious. But it's also very logical. Makes sense, right? Very plausible. Maybe even compelling. The ode, second one. Amatzi l'meimar lo shasakti b'shas kidusha lo b'shvi shalo ayu shameinim g'svur shalo yu l'masecha avakil mekadosh b'leid v'shin choshin l'kidusha. That's another point. Meaning, maybe also the equivalent of b'shat anibak, meaning I went along, I didn't think there were Eidim. You know, so why not? If I'd known there were Eidim, I would have said, no, you know, never in a million years. Right? So that's the second answer, is a pragmatic answer. So what emerges is that the Ra'ah, quoted by the Ritva, with two very important nafkamina, highlights the fundamental difference between Eidikim and Eidibim. So what I'd like to show, like Rabbeinu Tam, in my opinion, or this view of Rabbeinu Tam, but I want to show next week that the Rajba and the Tzos and some other Makoros go the other way. And then just also try to show you that Rukhayim takes a stand on this issue, as do some of the other Rukhayim. And then I want to talk about Ksav Yan, and then we'll get back to, you know, some of the other first part.